And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Quimry. There's just a few weeks to go before Alaska tries out a new election system. And so getting the word out about this year's changes is crucial. One group is helping educate voters with M&Ms. KTOO's Lindsay Brolini has a story.
Near the entrance to Amalga Distillery in Juneau, there are paper cups, each with eight different flavors of M&Ms. These represent the primary candidates for this mock election. People scan a QR code and then vote for their favorite M&M. They can only pick one. That's how Alaska's new primary will work. Once there are enough votes in, the top four M&Ms will face off in the general election. That's when people will rank candidates. Caroline Storm wasn't a fan of the peanut butter flavor when she was tasting the candidates.
That was awful. Which one was that one?
Peanut butter.
Oh, that was my favorite.
She gave the rest to her partner. Storm is from Anchorage and was in town for a few days, so she wanted to visit the distillery. And she also wanted to learn more about the open pick one primary and ranked choice voting. So the event was a double win for her.
And I'm really excited it's an open primary for the first time. I think that'll be more representative of Alaskans' actual views on politics and the candidates versus closed primaries.
She says the M&M election is a fun way to engage with ranked choice, and she did learn more about how the process works.
I found out just a little bit ago that you only get to choose one and not four for the primary, so that was new information to me.
And before the event, she didn't quite understand how the candidates got eliminated in the general election. Amanda Mosier is with Alaskans for Better Elections. The group is responsible for writing the ballot measure in 2020 that changed the state's elections. And now they want to make sure Alaskans know what to do with those changes. She says a lot of people have had the same confusion as Storm about the primary, which is why they are traveling around the state to show people how it works with M&Ms.
And the best thing about it is that it's an interactive way for voters to familiarize themselves, reconnect with the great M&M flavors, and feel confident with the process moving forward.
Mosier says to remember that in the primary, you only pick one candidate. And then in the general, you rank the four candidates by preference. Your favorite candidate is ranked first. If a candidate gets 50+1% of the votes in the general election, then they win. But if there isn't a candidate that has that many votes, that's when the fourth place candidate is eliminated. Mosier explains how this works with the M&M election.
So if our top four vote getters are pretzel, caramel, peanut butter, and dark chocolate, and dark chocolate is the fourth place vote getter, then all the people who voted for dark chocolate, whoever they voted for their second choice, those votes get redistributed to pretzel, caramel, and peanut butter.
Then the process is repeated with a third candidate if there isn't a candidate with 50+1% of the votes after the first elimination round. And peanut butter ended up winning in the M&M election. Pretzel got second, caramel third, and dark chocolate fourth. The special election primary to fill Alaska's congressional seat will happen on June 11th, where people will vote for one out of 48 candidates. The special general election, when people rank the candidates, will be on August 16th. And just to make things extra complicated, August 16th is also the date for the regular primary election. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
In other news, an expert on marine geology and leading researcher on the Queen Charlotte Fault believes the recent earthquake swarm under Mount Edgecombe near Sitka is consistent with volcanic activity. Dr. Gary Green is not suggesting an eruption is imminent, if one occurs at all. But he does think signs are pointing up to the upward movement of magma below Mount Edgecombe, which has been dormant for centuries. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Queen Charlotte Fault runs offshore southeast Alaska almost perfectly straight for over 500 miles. It's a rare geological feature called a leaky transform fault, where the North American and Pacific plates continually slip past each other. Because it's a plate boundary, the Queen Charlotte Fault is deep, extending down through the Earth's crust and into the mantle. Thousands of years ago, the movement of the fault opened a conduit in the crust, and molten magma pushed through and formed the Mount Edgecombe volcano. Dr. Gary Green thinks that the April 11th earthquake swarm indicates that the process may be underway again.
when magma starts heading towards the surface, it remelts the rock that is there, and it fractures that rock. And the fracturing is what causes the earthquake. So as the magma starts to move up into the crust and get closer to the surface, you start getting these low-magnitude earthquakes. And then it can shut off, which it sounds like it has now, but it can start again any time.
Green is retired from a long career with the U.S. Geological Survey. He's an emeritus professor at the Moss Landing Marine Lab at San Jose State University, and he holds a research faculty position with the University of Washington's Friday Harbor Lab. But his specialty of late has been mapping the undersea Queen Charlotte Fault, and the Mount Edgecombe volcano is a product of that fault. The Queen Charlotte is tectonically active and reliably produces measurable earthquakes, which usually propagate laterally along the fault. The April 11th swarm was located under the mountain, and the quakes appeared to migrate upward from deep in the crust to shallower depths. But like his peers at the Alaska Volcano Observatory, Green says it's too early for dire predictions.
I mean, the good sign is that this might just be a hiccup. It just started, and there wasn't much pressure below and much dilation to cause this thing to really start to break towards the surface in an explosive event. But it also could be a precursor to what may occur sometime in the future.
Most Sitkins by now are probably envisioning Mount Edgecombe blowing its top and clouds of ash billowing into the sky like the famous eruption of Mount St. Helens in 1980. Again, Green says the structure of the Queen Charlotte Fault probably wouldn't lead to anything that dramatic. He pictures something a bit more tame.
This volcano is not like the volcanoes that sit down off of Seattle, for instance, and it's not like a St. Helens volcano. So these types of volcanoes generally have a small amount of explosive activity at the beginning of an eruption. A lot of ash will come out, but generally after a while it dies down, and they're more similar to a Hawaiian type of volcano.
One of the most active volcanoes in Hawaii isn't on the Big Island itself, but just offshore. Green says this could be a possibility for Mount Edgecombe, which isn't a lone volcanic peak, but one crater of many in a large volcanic field along the Southwest Rift, which links Kruzoff Island, where Mount Edgecombe is located, to the Queen Charlotte Fault 12 kilometers away, under the seafloor. An eruption somewhere along the rift is as much a possibility as an eruption on Mount Edgecombe. No one knows for sure right now. Although he's mainly a student of the fault, Green is glad the USGS is taking an active interest in what's happening at Mount Edgecombe. If I were really studying the volcano in any detail, he says, I'd want to get some instruments out there. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The State Health Department reported 1,526 COVID cases yesterday. That's an 18% increase compared to last week. Alaska's seven-day case rate is the fourth highest in the country, according to the CDC. The data does not include at-home tests. The state also reported 13 deaths Wednesday. They included a woman in her 30s from Wasilla, a man from Anchorage in his 50s, and a woman from Fairbanks in her 60s. 20 COVID patients are currently hospitalized, and 5 of them are on ventilators. The health department's variant dashboard shows that more than 80% of cases are the BA2 Omicron variant. At a public health presentation last week, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink said as mask requirements and other health mandates go away, it's important to understand personal risk factors. She says age is still the biggest risk factor, followed by things like kidney disease or physical inactivity.
So if you are that super healthy 70-year-old runner who's chopping wood every day, good for you. Make sure you continue to stay physically active and mentally well. But if you get COVID-19, seek treatment because you're the person who's really going to be able to benefit from it.
The department's community case rates map shows certain areas of the state where the seven-day case rate is especially high. They include Nome, the Northwest Arctic Borough, Dillingham, and the Southeast communities of Petersburg, Wrangell, and Sitka. It's currently 54 and cloudy. Some low winds today and tonight. The low tonight is 36 degrees. Tomorrow's high is 49, and rain is expected to arrive in the afternoon or the evening, ending Juneau's 12-day dry streak. It may be rainy this weekend. Sunset is at 8:25 p.m. For more local news, check out our website, ktoo.org. This is KTOO.